The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're off and running on another week of broadcasting here at our headquarters campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. And we're just finishing our Philadelphia Youth Camp, our annual summer camp here in Edmond. The teens will be, some of them, I guess, have left already early this morning. I think Eric Burns had the first airport run. Three or four o'clock in the morning. So there's some people, some tired young people, and probably a few tired staff members as well at the airports or making their way to the airport today. But it was certainly well worth being a little tired and worn out the past few days. These last 3 weeks have just been super special. I forgot just how fun the youth camp is here in the U.S. It's been 7 or 8 years since I've done it. We had a couple of really successful smaller camps over in Edstone, and we're, after taking a summer off with that, we're hoping to resume that next year as well. So we'll return to the Edstone and Edmond PYC next summer, which is exciting to think about already. Yesterday we had the afternoon cookout surrounded by two softball games, the All-Star girls game and then the All-Star guys as well. Before that, even, we had two baptisms. Two of our college students got baptized at the AC pool, so that was exciting to see, and a huge turnout for the baptisms. We had dorm relay races there at the end of the day just to wear them out all the more. The final activity, the final group activity, before we then headed into the special occasion last night, kicking off the festivities last evening. We had the teen speeches. The six campers that gave outstanding speeches during the speech class at PYC. So all of them spoke in front of about 270 or 80 people, which had to be a nerve-wracking experience for a 16-year-old to speak in front of such a large group of people, so many parents, family, friends that were there in attendance to watch the award ceremony, the speech all-stars, I guess you could say, as well. We also had a long video of all of the youth talent winners, the annual competition that we have for the teens in the church to submit their art, their photography, their musical submissions, dancing, all kinds of things, and then cash awards to the top three that finish in each category. So that was exciting to see. And then, of course, we handed out all the awards for this particular youth camp last night as well. Before all of that, I need to point out too that we had probably the most exciting all-star basketball game, certainly between campers, that we've had ever. It kind of tailed off in the overtime period, but what led up to overtime was really pretty exciting. A game-tying shot right at the buzzer, which then carried it over into 5 minutes of extra basketball late Saturday night. So that was exciting as well. And that followed a great sermon message that we heard from Joel Hilliker a few hours before that. So lots and lots to think about and to appreciate as the campers make their way back to their homes, wherever they may be. We have, by the way, a special PYC video that will play at the end of this broadcast. And it's about 15 minutes long. There's some really amazing audio, I think, with it, but it's also lots of pictures and snapshots as well, which are perfect for the YouTube audience. So if you're watching today on the live YouTube stream, it certainly would make that last 15 minutes more enjoyable. But even if not, you'll hear some, I think, some interesting sounds from that that 15-minute video as well. If you do happen to even get this program later on your phone, download it to your phone, you still, even if you don't see the YouTube stream live, you still can go to the Trumpet channel, the Trumpet YouTube channel, or the Trumpet Daily YouTube channel. They're both the same. But if you get to that channel, you can watch these streams later, just like you can listen to the podcast later as well. So if you're hearing this on your phone or some other device and you have the audio only on your device, don't forget to check out the YouTube channel for the Trumpet, particularly for the last 15 minutes of this program. Well, all of our mail servers were down this morning, so it made it, I guess, fairly simple for me to decide on what to talk about. For the last 3 weeks, camp, youth camp, has been on my mind, so I'll just fill you in on some of the themes and lessons that the young people are taking away from this camp. As I told them last night, we're breaking down the camp today, and everyone's heading home, but we're not leaving this camp behind. We're taking it with us. We're taking the many lessons that we learned here with us. As we said over and again during PYC, this camp is a turning point. It has to be. The times are too urgent. We're drawing so close to the return of Jesus Christ. If you're 14 or 16 or 18 and in God's church, we have to be taking advantage of these opportunities. We as adults need to as well. Our theme for this youth camp was to be loyal and royal. Be loyal to God and to His law. Be loyal, as we told the young people. Be loyal to your parents. Be loyal to the ministry in God's church. And be loyal to your own word. So many of them gave goals. They had personal goals that they had for this camp. They stated those goals at the stick night on the second night, or I guess the first night after the first full day of activities. And as I said last night, make sure now that you finish this camp, or as you finish it and head home, that you set even bigger goals for the year ahead, and then follow through. And remember some of the verses that really do stand out from these past 3 weeks. Proverbs 29 and verse 18, the verse that says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he." My father, of course, stressed the point about vision in his sermon, the first Sabbath of PYC. But then he also really laid stress to that second half of the verse. "He that keeps the law, happy is he." They go together, and you can see this same truth in 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. They go together, the vision and the law. You've got to have the vision first, and then the law. Once you see the vision, once you capture the vision, then you know that you have to get busy purifying yourself and making yourself ready for what God is offering. On several occasions, we told them about a cause that they need to be willing to fight for and even die for if necessary. At the camper orientation, I referred to one of our founding patriots, Nathan Hale. He died when he was 21. He was executed by British forces back in the revolutionary period. And he famously said before his execution, "I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." That's a 21-year-old who said that. "My only regret is that I have but one life to lose for my country." He was spying for the United States. And he was willing to do it again if necessary. Remember these lessons, I said to them last night. These are lessons that we want to take home with us. Remember a cause that's worth dying for. We spoke to them at this camp about the spark of ambition that was in the Bible 1 class, and how that the sooner that spark happens, the better. And there's all kinds of examples, Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, being the best one that we know of someone who at 16, he got that spark of ambition and it really changed his life. He said in his autobiography that this was the turning point of his life, his long, productive life, 93 years, the last 50 or so in service to God. And he looks over this long life, or he looked over it toward the end of his life, his physical life, and said that, yeah, the year 16, when I was 16 years of age, that was the turning point. And of course, the reason that ambition is so important is because there are opportunities all over the place for our young people. But they've got to be ambitious in going after them. There's no end to the opportunities in God's family. Isaiah 9 in verses 6 and 7, it says it just keeps growing and expanding. There's no end to it. And so we want our young people to be ambitious, to set epic goals. Because this plan, this purpose, it's going to stretch out on into the universe. That's what Romans 8 reveals. And Hebrews 2. And Psalm 8, and on it goes. I told the campers to remember to read and to study as they get home. First and foremost, of course, study the Bible. Dig deeply into the Word of God. But also become an expert in history and in reading inspiring biographies. We'll talk more about this in the next segment. We had some great speeches last night. Two or three of the six were revolving around history. It's great to see our teens really immersing themselves into history and giving attendance to reading, as Paul said in 1 Timothy. If you want to be a leader, I told the young people, then you have to be a reader. Leaders are readers. We can't forget that. There's a lot of examples of that I'll go through in the next segment. Eric Burns gave the young people an excellent lecture on work ethic and the importance of part-time jobs and being productive and industrious and fruitful in the days of your youth. And just learning to emulate God our Father and Christ the Son, who both work, and they're both incredibly ambitious in their work. This is an example that we want to follow them in. Follow through on the example that our Heavenly Father is setting for us daily. Last night I told the teenagers to also remember the morning routine that they had every day here at PYC. Prayer, Bible study, and then go. Prayer, Bible study, and then go. There is a pattern that was set here, and it works. Pray and study, and then get busy serving God. And then get busy providing for your family, teaching your children. Some valuable lessons that these young people are learning right here at God's headquarters campus, at God's youth camp. And it's not like the lessons were just in the classroom. There were quite a few life lessons out on the ball field as well. Get down and get ready. Anticipate. Keep your eye on the ball and swing hard. Learn to be a team player. Pass the baton. Follow through. And on the lessons go. You'll see some of that in the video at the end. At this camp, we were reminded of just how short our time is. And we have to make the most of it. In softball, they were told that a lot of times we make the right decisions, but we just make them too late. We hesitate. I told them last night, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do right now, what you can do today. Don't put it off. Don't delay it. Do it now. During my Sabbath sermon, It happened to be on the anniversary of the moon landing, the 50th anniversary. Hopefully we can put together a program on that in the weeks ahead, because there's lots of amazing footage, obviously, regarding that, the moon landing, and then also just all of these incredible images that we continue to get of the universe, our universe. The whole universe is groaning in travail, just waiting for the birth of the first fruits, it says in Romans 8. Our young people are future astronauts. We're going to be landing on the moon and beyond once God's plan and purpose is fully realized. What an incredible human potential, to use the title from Mr. Armstrong's classic work. We were blessed over and again at this PYC. There's always a few hiccups here and there and some minor injuries that you have to contend with. But the blessings over this camp, like the miraculous weather, very special. We prayed and prayed for relief, particularly as we were coming up to the first weekend and that track meet, which is a strenuous activity when you're out running in 100-degree weather. But the relief came in the day of the track meet, and it stayed with us for the 7 or 8 days that followed. Mid to late July in Oklahoma, and we're enjoying weather that was 87, 88 degrees, and incredibly just a nice breeze, even as it got warmer these past several days. Yesterday, a nice breeze that some of our all-star softball players took advantage of. I think we had 3 or 4 home runs that made it over the fence. Talk about moon landings. These were some moon shots. Crush the ball. Wasn't it the first play of the game? Our first batter, Ashton Lamont, he gets up there from Australia. He gets up there and cranks a home run. Oh, boy, it was fun to watch. The game Saturday night, the basketball game, fun to watch. So many wonderful memories for the young people to take away with them. So many precious memories from their dorm activities, their dorm Bible studies, all the dorm lingo that we heard across campus, the chants that we heard during mealtime or leading up to it. And, of course, for these young people, as I'm sure they'd all tell you, the wonderful friendships that they all made here. Hopefully they'll stay in touch with each other and encourage one another to be strong and to stand up for God, to be faithful, to be loyal, and to be royal. I said last night, because we have mentioned in years past that it seems like there had been a decline in athleticism and just being athletically inclined. Young people today, they're just more sedentary. They stay indoors. And yet at this camp, we really did notice some improvement. And part of it might have been helped by the fact that I think we had a little bit of an older camp. We had some of our European teenagers come over. They can't come over every single year, and several of them are a little bit older and pretty good at sports. So it did help just the year, I suppose, the ones that were able to come, and the fact that maybe we had a few more 17- and 18-year-olds, whereas in years past there were more 12-year-olds. But still, there is improvement. There has been improvement here at the college and here at the academy. So there's a lot to build on. If you're a parent out in the field receiving your child back today or tomorrow or whenever, continue on prodding them to get outside and to be active, to throw a ball, to get involved in a team sport if it's possible. It really does help them when they come to camp in more ways than just on the sports field. It helps their confidence and things like that as well. I mentioned Joel Hilliker's message from just the other day, and he pointed out in his sermon that you have all these examples of young people in the Bible who yielded to God, and God did spectacular things through them, even when they were teenagers. In some cases, preteens. Josiah became king of Judah when he was 8 years old. And Jesus Christ, of course, he dumbfounded the doctors and the lawyers when he was 12 years old, asking them questions. He was picking their brain. He wanted to know. He wanted to learn. He was a preteen. The prophet Samuel, he triggered a righteous reformation in Israel when he was just 13 years old. 13. And then Jeremiah, you can read about it in Jeremiah 1, how he protested because he was so young. In his mind, this was a terrifying commission that God had given him. He was about 17 years of age. And God said, "Don't you worry, I'll be with you. Just trust me. Just walk by faith." And then, of course, David, the teenaged David, slaying a giant when he was, 16, 17 years of age? This is all in your Bible. And that's what this youth camp was based on. The Word of God, the foundation. I told the young people last night to remember how much fun you had here. Of course, there were times when they were worn out and in some cases suffering from minor injuries. But they were happy. This was a happy youth camp. And there's a reason why it was as happy as it was. And hopefully they'll never, ever forget that. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. When we come back, we'll conclude with a little more material from the lecture I gave, the leadership lecture I gave, about the importance of reading and study, and then that will then lead into the final 15-minute video that we played last night in front of the whole camp. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Is there a more urgent expression in the Bible than the last hour? When he wrote his epistles, the Apostle John thought it was the last hour before Christ's second coming. In fact, it was only a type of our time today. Every detail of what John prophesied is now being fulfilled. Request the last hour. Never before has proper time management been more important, and this book will give you the urgency you need to organize your life God's way. Request the last hour. As part of this free offer, request The 7 Laws of Success by Herbert W. Armstrong, one of his most popular books ever. If you want to be a successful life organizer, then you need to read The 7 Laws of Success by Herbert W. Armstrong. Again, both books are completely free, so contact us now and get the help you need to organize your life God's way.
The Trumpet Daily.
A few days ago, The Atlantic had a piece entitled, "Has College Gotten Too Easy?" And the way that this article starts out, it says an astonishing number of students start college in America without finishing it. It says roughly 40% of college enrollees don't go on to get a degree within 6 years of starting to work toward one. So there's still lots and lots of people enrolling, but more and more are not finishing. And this article goes on to talk about some of the other trends that you see today among the college-aged young people. They're studying a lot less. If they are off at college, they're typically involved in lots of other activities, maybe working a job on the side. But this article says, despite the aforementioned trends among the college-going population, students were, on average, earning higher grades in their first year of college. So you have the dropout rate increasing. You have young people studying less. You have them involved in lots of activities besides college, if they're in. And yet, the grades are improving. They're getting higher marks. Now, something's wrong with this. It says GPAs are going up, and the best we can tell, there's not a good reason that they're going up in terms of student behavior or preparation or anything like that. They're not doing anything different or better. They're not studying more or harder. It says, if grades are improving, but there's no reason to think that students have become better students, an interesting possibility is raised. It says, the unassuming academic way Denning puts it in a recent paper is that standards for degree receipt may have changed. A less measured way of saying what that implies, college may have gotten easier. College is getting easier. They're dumbing it down. And the same is true at the high school level and below that as well. And you see our young people coming in from all over the world, and not all of them are involved in the Imperial Academy, but you can really see the positive impact of the church's educational programs. I spoke with one 16 or 17-year-old a couple of days ago, and he admitted he's more of a blue-collar type. He's anxious to work with his hands and that sort of thing, but he stopped his going to his public school and joined the academy in the middle of the year. This was just back in January. And he was telling me just how difficult it was because he wasn't used to the higher standard that the academy holds to. And in one class, he said in particular, he came very close to failing it. But he made it through the semester. And I asked him if he really got a lot out of the experience and enjoyed it. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there were times where I thought maybe I wouldn't make it or maybe I wouldn't pass. But I got through. Now we're here at youth camp. It's the summer. And I know, I certainly know more of what to expect going forward. And I said, oh, that's good. So you're staying with it and you're going to continue with Imperial. And he said, oh, yeah, absolutely. And he said this whole year has helped him to see how much he should value the college program as well. This is something that he really wasn't interested in before switching over to the academy. And now he's wanting to finish at the academy. I think he has a couple of years left. And he's considering Armstrong College as well. So it's great to see the church's educational programs changing the way some of our young people think. It's great to see how it's challenging them. And they certainly need to challenge themselves, too, because it's not like the church can do it all for them. Look at the way it is in this world. Look at the way it is if you're in a worldly high school or in a university, like this article brings out. They're not studying more, and yet they go and they just get higher grades because that's the trend. That's the trend. We want to try to keep them in. There's too many of them dropping out, so maybe if we make it easier for them, they'll stay, and they're not staying. Someone, one of our listeners sent me this little book, Rural Schools in the Heartland. It's about Adair County in Missouri. It's just this little book or manual on how the schools were set up in the Revolutionary era. And Thomas Jefferson, this manual or book or whatever it is, it really takes note of Thomas Jefferson and how influential he was. We heard a fair bit about him last night in one of the youth speeches. But it says here that Thomas Jefferson thought everyone should have an education. Education was the way to preserve democracy. Ignorance destroyed it. This is how we hold on to what we have. to what God's given to us. You've got to be educated. Then you'll appreciate it. Then you'll love it. It says further on in this little book, 50, or rather early schools represented the communal effects or efforts of pioneer settlers, mostly farmers, to bring reading, writing, and arithmetic to their isolated children. And it talks about how so many people had to volunteer their time to make sure that their children were educated. It says they believed a community with a school was a community with a future. How much different would education have been back then as compared to today? I mentioned last week when I went through those other articles, the study of history, how it's in sharp decline in Britain. There was that other piece, the Age of Amnesia, where a healthy appreciation for the past is being lost, as it says, and how that today historical analysis is increasingly shaped by concerns over race, gender, and class. Assuming you do stay with it and go to the university, what are you getting there? You're certainly not getting a healthy appreciation for the past. It's just all about race and gender and class. You're not even going to learn about Thomas Jefferson. Or if you do, it's all the sins. It's all the mistakes he made, as if we're so much better than the founders. Well, the young people in God's church, there are programs like the youth camps, like the academy, like the true education, like the campouts and such, the college. There certainly are helpful programs there, but as we told the campers at this camp, you're going to have to be motivated yourself to get educated, to love study, to love reading. And you can look at the example of Winston Churchill, as my father did a couple of years ago, and see how that he had a lot of disadvantages. He came out of a dysfunctional family. He had a father who hated him and a mother that didn't really show much love until Churchill started to become more successful, and then she perked up. But it was a difficult childhood for him. Now, he had a lot of love from his nanny, Mrs. Everest. And as my father said 2 years ago, God was looking out for him. God was helping him. God sent that woman to give him some love and affection. And they had a loving relationship, Churchill and Mrs. Everest, right up until the day she died. He didn't do so well at school. He was trying to get attention from his parents. They never visited him. And he wrote them time and time again and said, please, please come see me. Please spend time with me. So he acted out at school. He wasn't so good at taking tests. But then as a teenager, he fell in love with books. He fell in love with reading and study. At Sandhurst, he devoted his evenings to reading. At Sandhurst, he became a lifelong reader of newspapers as well. Current events. He fell in love with the English language. And this was something that he kept improving upon, even late into his life. He was such a gifted communicator and writer. But going back to his reading habits, when he was on assignment in India, a young man in his early 20s, he was reading books, or the series of books by Macaulay on the history of the British Empire, and then Edward Gibbon. This is not exactly easy reading, but he set goals for himself. He wanted to cover. He had some time. He was in the army. He was in India, but he had several hours a day. And so he wanted to read 50 pages of Macaulay and then 25 pages of Gibbon every day. He felt like if he didn't really plow through these works, that he would stagnate. And so this was his university. He went through military schools in his late teens, early 20s, but his real university was what he put in place himself. Paul Reed, one of his biographers, said that reading for Churchill was a form of action. A form of action. In Manchester's book on Churchill, it says, Churchill sought guidance in the wisdom of the past, for all wisdom is not new wisdom. He sought guidance from the past, from his studies. That's where he received wisdom. At the Art of Manliness website, it says his knowledge of history informed all his decisions, from the personal to the political, and was paramount in guiding his strategy for vanquishing the Nazis. No one else knew how to do it. Everyone else wanted to appease them. Some of them wanted to surrender. Churchill wanted to fight them. Churchill wanted to conquer them. And so where did he get his strategy for this? He got it from books. He got it from history. The same website says, every adult truly needs a team of historical luminaries they can regularly consult with. That team of luminaries, they are there. We can consult with them if we'll go after them, if we'll dig into not just any book, but really good books like the Manchester series on Churchill. As I said, it was mentioned last night in one of our youth speeches, just how gifted Thomas Jefferson was, how motivated he was to study and to better himself. Jefferson famously said, I cannot live without books. He said books and reading were a necessary of life. There's one website talking about Jefferson's education. It says Jefferson relied on his books as his chief source of inspiration and practical knowledge, and believed that education was the means to an enlightened and informed citizenry that would help preserve democracy. It says he owned between 9,000 and 10,000 books in his lifetime. He was responsible for supplying the Library of Congress with his collection after it burned in 1812, burned to the ground, much of it. Jefferson said, while residing in Paris, I devoted every afternoon I was disengaged for a summer or two in examining all the principal bookstores, turning over every book with my own hands and putting by everything which related to America and indeed whatever was rare and valuable in every science. Besides this, I had standing others during the whole time I was in Europe, or I checked out other bookshops. He mentions shops in Amsterdam, Frankfurt, Madrid, and London. He was looking for anything and everything he could find, particularly on the history of America, the early years of America. This was a well-educated man. Now, some of these great luminaries of history had excellent university education as well. But back then, you got into the university because you were highly educated yourself. And certainly having parents that could afford it factored into it as well. But these are the examples that we ought to be looking to. Herbert Armstrong is another one who talks over and again in his autobiography about the many books that impacted him as a youth. This is what we want for our young people. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with the special PYC video. It has some interesting sound as well. But if you'd like to see the video in its entirety, make sure that you visit our YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show.
For an easy-to-read, information-rich news brief, join the growing readership of the Trumpet Weekly. Now you can enjoy all the top news stories from the previous week condensed into a report combining the commentary, analysis, and reporting you've come to expect from thetrumpet.com sent directly to your email. Subscribing is completely free. Simply visit the Trumpet Weekly section of thetrumpet.com to subscribe by email today.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
The PYC theme this year is loyal and royal. It's taken from a statement my father made a little over 3 weeks ago in a sermon. Loyal and royal. We've heard a lot about the royal standard and how that we need to elevate that standard. And I think we all can better appreciate the emphasis that he put on loyalty a few weeks ago as well, because we've got to be loyal royals in this last hour, faithful to God, committed to God.
Hi, Mom.
Every day, you know, I walk along the shore. It makes me roar. Jump inside the wave. Come along with me. It's okay.
We used 7,560 eggs. We used a half a ton of hash browns, 2,000 oranges, 4,670 apples, 7,100 lemons, 2.5 tons of beef, 2 tons of chicken, 3,600 pounds of potatoes, 2,520 pounds of romaine lettuce.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, my, 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 my. My work is so hard, give me water, I'm thirsty, my.
My work is so hard. Oh, oh, my, 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 my. My work is so hard.
In the Jude booklet, I use this quote in one of the recent personal appearance campaigns. It's right at the start of the booklet. And my father says, "It is the worst time ever, but it is perhaps the best time ever for opportunities." The best time ever for opportunities just prior to the second coming of Christ. It says, "There are spiritual and physical opportunities galore in this end time. However, there's only a very short span of time to exploit those opportunities." So you have just a small window of opportunity here that's in front of you. God's royal family, and God brought you here to be loyal and royal. It's a wonderful theme. Demonstrate to God your loyalty to Him, your loyalty to His law, to His ministry, to your counselors, to your parents, to your word. We're God's royal family. And God brought you here to be loyal and royal. It's a wonderful theme. Demonstrate to God your loyalty to Him, your loyalty to His law, to His ministry, to your counselors, to your parents, to your word.